What an awesome way to begin our day today, to be here together to worship God and to sing songs like that. Just a reminder of our God, that He is alive and that He is powerful and that we're here to serve Him and worship Him. Good morning. Good to see everybody today. We're thankful for the good day that God has given us, and so good to see each of you today. It's a great day to be a Christian. And we're thankful to God for His grace and mercy that makes that possible and for the blessing of being together. I want to invite you to take your Bibles out and follow along with us as we study from God's Word together today. Today, this past week has been such a great week for my family. You know, as you see your kids grow up and you have hopes and dreams for them, to see those things come to fruition is such a blessing. I did some quick math to figure out how many times that Molly has had the plate passed by her and not taken the Lord's Supper. And it's about 725 times. But today, for the first time, she was able to have that fellowship in the Lord, in taking the Lord's Supper, in remembering His death. And Molly, as she was baptized into Christ this past Sunday night, we have had a wonderful, wonderful week together, her first week as a Christian. And I want to ask of you that you will encourage her, that you will lift her up, that you will strengthen her in her faith, as all of these young folks need that as they begin their walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be an encouragement to her as she has been to us. So we're thankful for that. Hope and pray that there will be many, many more that will as well do that very thing. So we rejoice in the Lord this morning. You know, it's a big time of year for a lot of people. And either Thursday or maybe, I don't know the schedules, maybe this upcoming Monday, there are a lot of young people that are about to begin once again a new year of school. And the challenges that go along with that and the things that accompany that new year. And this morning I want to just simply talk about that a little bit and to talk about some pre-school planning. And maybe some things that we need to think about, that young people need to think about as they head off into this new year. This is a targeted lesson. I have a specific audience in mind. And so the arrows that I shoot, I hope, will hit that target. But let me encourage you that some of them probably will kind of go astray a little bit. And I hope that some of those arrows may be applicable to others as well, and to those that are older and those that have been through that process as they think about maybe ways that they can help young people themselves, or lessons that we can learn that will help us. So I encourage you to think about these things with me for a few minutes this morning. There's a lot of preparation that is going on at this time of year. A lot of thought processes. We think about, you know, what things do we need as we begin this new school year. And so there's backpacks and there's lunch boxes and, you know, new clothes and all the kinds of things that we have to do in order to prepare for a new school year. Are you ready to serve the Lord, young people? Are you ready to be what God would have you to be when it comes to your being at school and the things that you do as you're in that environment? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready for this new year? I hope and pray that you are, and I hope that you'll think about some things this morning that I think will help us in preparing for that. My young friends, you need to fill your heart and not your backpack. That's not the most important thing. So you need to fill your heart and your mind more than you do your backpack and your locker. Because you're about to begin a new school year with new pressures and new problems and new challenges that you will face. You know, Mark talked a little bit on Wednesday night about being a vessel. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. This time is a time of testing in your life. I remember it well. Not math and science. That's not the most important definitive thing that will determine your long-term well-being. That's not what will determine that. It will be a test of your character and a test of your will and your love for the Lord and how you hold up in that, that will well determine your future as you go through these years. And Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22, that you are carrying something with you, that you are a vessel, a container. What is it that you contain? What is it that you will carry with you? You will be tested and challenged, young people, to accept what everyone else accepts. To accept what is now the new normal, television show called The New Normal. Well, you'll be challenged and tested to accept those things. That, well, you know, this is the world we live in now. And here are the things that everyone is doing and the moral standards that are so lax. You will be encouraged to accept those things. You will be encouraged to be like everyone else, to look like everyone else, to talk like everyone else, look like everyone else. Did I already say that one? Maybe. Anyway, be just like everyone else is. That's what you're going to be encouraged to do. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You will be tempted this year to relax your standards. And our society and the world we live in is becoming more and more accepting of all of the departures that have been made from God's will. And so it's becoming easier and easier to just kind of fall in line with that and fall in step with what everyone else is doing. But you need to be prepared for every good work. And notice that he says there that I think that it's important who you spend time with, who you run with, and that makes a big difference, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Who you surround yourself with, well, this year will have a huge bearing on how well you do. And I think many of us speak from experience there, that makes a huge difference. Do not be conformed to this world. This world has a mold that it wants to fit you in. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 wants you to fit in with that mold and shape yourself to those expectations. Don't fall in line with those expectations, young people. So let's ask ourselves this question, are we ready? Number one, are we ready to make a solid effort at this thing? Are we ready to put forth a solid effort at growing? You know, you're very lucky, folks. Young people, you are very lucky. I had the opportunity to go into one of the high schools, or rather it was the middle school that I went into. I hadn't been into the high school yet, but I've seen it from the outside. What an amazing place that school is. And I say that from someone that has some experience in some third world countries. And specifically in the state of Chiapas in Mexico, where the illiteracy rate is about 25 to 30%. And they don't have those kinds of opportunities. I remember the first men's meeting that I was in when I moved down to Mexico. And in that men's meeting was a young man of 12 years old. His name was Ron Hill. And I'll never forget that men's meeting, because here was this young man. He had obeyed the gospel. He had become a Christian. And there were, and that's a pretty good idea, young people that are Christians, men, young men, to participate in those meetings. But he was in there, and as the meeting began to come to an end, although my Spanish wasn't very well, I could well understand what he was saying to the men of that congregation as he was preparing for school, his new school year. He asked the men of the congregation if there was any way that the brethren could help he and his sister with a pair of shoes for school, because he didn't have any. He didn't have any shoes. And he had been helping his mother and had been out of the classroom for a period of time because she needed help with the basic necessities of life. And here was this young man speaking to this group of men, asking if there was any way that the brethren had enough money to help him with shoes. You are so blessed. And I hope you realize, I hope you don't take it for granted. I hope you understand how fortunate that you are. You're some of the luckiest young people in the world. And that's not to make you feel guilty. It's to make you feel lucky. It's to make you feel blessed. So when you go to school and you have all these opportunities and you have this great place and all these computers and wonderful learning tools and teachers and this great opportunity, are you going to take advantage of that? Are you going to take advantage of this opportunity that God has given you? Let me tell you this. The only thing that separates you from Ren Hill is the place that you were born and the people to who you were born. You're just so fortunate. You're so lucky in that regard. Nothing you did to deserve it. So appreciate that. Be thankful for that opportunity. And don't take that opportunity for granted. It's a matter of stewardship. Are we going to take advantage of what God has given us? We've been given great resources, folks. And as you sow, you will reap. You've been given what is needed in order to sow, in order to take those things and plant those things and have an increase and a harvest in your life. But will you waste it? Will you sow your wild oats? Will you sow to the flesh? Will you sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind, as Hosea 8 says? Well, what are you going to do with those things? I've seen the result of some poor sowing of either young people that I was associated with, that I knew very well, and how they sowed very poorly. And a friend of mine that I knew very well that was a very close friend of mine that became addicted to a substance as a result of not sowing and using those opportunities well, who ended up taking his own life. You've been given such a wonderful opportunity. Don't waste that opportunity. And to see how some have sown and as a result an unwanted pregnancy or some personal harm that they have done. Put garbage in and get garbage out. But you can be one that can begin to build a wonderful life. God wants us to use our minds. Everything that our hand finds to do it with all of our might. But folks, if we're habitually playing games, if that's what constitutes our life, and I know some young people that maybe innocently begin that way, but I know some older folks that are my age that haven't gotten away from that. And they spend their days in front of a computer screen playing games that are of little help to them in their lives. Will you be lazy, habitually doing things that are shirking responsibility? God has blessed me with my mind. Will I use that? Or will I cheat to make that happen? You know, cheating is a form of lying. Am I going to just take from someone else and their work, and am I going to use that and take advantage of that? Listen, I've copied some busy work. That's not what I'm talking about. That rote stuff that you just kind of have to write down to get it in. I'm talking about you looking on someone else's test. I'm talking about something that you're supposed to do yourself very clearly that you take from someone else. Are we going to pass that test? That's difficult. I understand that. There are challenges in that. But let's try to show character in that regard as well. I heard a story about four young people. Four young people went out of town. They wanted to have a fun weekend together, so they went into the mountains, and they had a wonderful time. And they had such a good time that they decided to stay longer, even though they knew that they had a test on Monday. And so they made up a story. They concocted a story about how that their grandmother was sick. And so they stayed on a little bit longer because their grandmother was sick. And on the way home, one of the tires of the car blew out, and so they would have been there on time to take the test, but the tire blew out. And so they couldn't make it. Well, the teacher that heard that was sympathetic with that story. She said, "You know, I am so sorry to hear about the grandmother. How is she doing? I tell you what I'll do. I will let you guys take the test. I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to let you take the test. And so they came in the next day, sat down, ready to take the test. Teacher comes in with her papers and lays four sheets down, face down, in front of them. And says, okay, you can begin the test. And so they turn those sheets of paper over, and there's one question. Which tire was punctured? Which tire was punctured? Cheating. Lying. That's basically what that is. We have to be careful with that. We have to think about those kinds of things. Do I tend to be lazy? You know, God does expect our best. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24. You know, I think if on our planners, on the very first line of our planners, if we'll put to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to let our light shine, we'll be much less apt to fail in these regards. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, the proverb writer talks about this. Look back at the book of Proverbs in chapter 12. In Proverbs 12 and verse 1. The wise man had much to say about this. And I understand the tendencies of youth. I'm not saying that we're not going to have momentary lapses, that we're not going to struggle. I understand that. I was one of those guys back some years ago. I understand those challenges. But by and large, our effort ought to be to give it our best, to work our hardest at this. And the wise man speaks to that back in the book of Proverbs in 12 and verse 11. He says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity or fun is devoid of understanding. If all we're doing is concerned about amusement, folks, what does the word amusement mean? You ever thought about that word? What is amusement? It's the failure to think. And so if all we're doing, the negative, musing or thinking, if that's all we're doing, it's just failing to think all the time, we're going to have a difficulty in our lives and in our progress as human beings that have been given a mind by the Lord. In Proverbs 14 and verse 23, again, the proverb writer says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Let me ask you something. If you were to fill in that chatter with something else, modernize that text, what might you put in? What might you put in? All labor there is profit, but idle blank leads only to poverty. Well, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of different things that you could maybe fill in the blank there. But how about texting might be one of them. Idle texting. I can't remember when my kids first started texting. You know, back then, you were paying for every text. And I remember getting the first bill from those pay for every text plan that I signed up for and being absolutely astonished at how many texts per day, per minute. Yeah, that's all right. We need to communicate. But if that's the focus, if that's all we're engaged in, we're in trouble. We can fill that in with maybe other things. Idle blank leads to poverty. Let's work harder. Let's do better. Let's extend ourselves, young people. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready to treat people properly? Are you ready to do that? That's a challenge for all of us. You know, how did Jesus deal with the downcast? Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, if you will. Jesus came into contact with so many different kinds of people. The woman at the well that was shunned. tax collectors and sinners, homeless people, hungry people, people that were poor. And he was a friend to those people. You will be tempted this year to kind of fall in line with people that mistreat the downcast and those that are unfortunate. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, and listen, that doesn't go away. As you get older, that doesn't go away. It's always a challenge to reach out to people that are different than you, that don't have the things in common with you that you have. That's always a challenge, even as you get older. And in Matthew 7 and verse 12, he says this, and here is the golden rule, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So I'll be faced with those challenges of how I'm going to treat other people. Am I going to ignore them? Am I going to push them to the side? Those people that are weird or socially awkward or different? Am I going to just kind of walk by those people? People that are hurting, people that don't have the greatest style. What am I going to do with those folks? People that are depressed and sad. Same kind of people we run into for the rest of our lives. Same kind of people that might walk into this building. How am I going to treat those folks? Solomon said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. You know, it's easy to love people like us. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. Easy to like people and envelop people that are just like us. Look like us, talk like us, have the same kind of enjoyments as us. But listen, if you love just those people, Jesus says, if you love those who love you, that are like you, that love you, that do good for you, that make you feel good, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Can we do better than that? Can we reach out to people that are different than us, who may not even show love to us? Young people, you'll be challenged this year in that regard. Will I be a part of a clique to gravitate and exclude, to gravitate toward people that I connect with? Do we have any of those here? Smoky Hill, do we have any of those cliques? It's not just a challenge for us when we're in school, but does that exist here where we kind of just gravitate toward certain groups of people? Don't even really make an attempt to get to know other people, to wrap our arms around people that are different maybe than we are. I sure hope that doesn't exist here. Can we make an effort, both at school and in the rest of our lives, in the sphere of our influences, not to do that? Will I be selfish when I see others being mistreated or bullied? Will I join in so that maybe I won't get some of that? How am I going to do in that regard? So are you ready, and are you ready to say no to peer pressure? Are you ready to say no to peer pressure, to take a stand? You know what? I'll tell you this. If you take a stand, I almost guarantee you that you will find that there are a lot of other people that are just waiting for a first responder. They're waiting for somebody to kind of stand up and to say, you know, no, this isn't good. This isn't right. I'm not going to do that. And other people will follow you. I've seen that with my own children. I've seen that with others. You take a stand. You do what's right. You say, that doesn't work for me. You let people see your light and they will follow you. I got a letter in the mail about probably 2 years ago from a guy that I knew in middle school. And we'd lost contact with each other, hadn't talked to this fella in probably over 25 years. And all of a sudden one day, a letter appears in the mail from Charlie. I want to read you that. You know, I don't like using personal illustrations a lot, but I want to read you the letter that he sent to me. I had no recollection of this whatsoever. So here's what Charlie says. So I've been wanting to tell you something for years now. Remember when you came over to my house and we talked about God, the age of the earth, dinosaurs, etc.? Well, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it set me on a quest to better understand. I think you said that the earth wasn't millions of years old, more like thousands, among other things. Well, I agree with you. Not that you ever cared, but I just thought that it was interesting that we had that talk, and that little bit of info helped continue my questions on faith. I was in college when I finally decided to throw out everything on what I knew of religion, faith, science, and evolution, etc., and read, believe the Bible from the beginning. Anyway, years of trials and Bible reading has done wonders for my faith and understanding. Plus, there has been other helpful books along the way, but my mind was already on the right path. Just wanted to share that with you. It just goes to show what kind of impact a childhood conversation can have on someone. 25 years had passed and I had completely forgotten about that conversation. Let me tell you something, young people. There are some things that you can do right now that you don't recognize and that you don't know are paying huge dividends for other young people. And it just needs somebody to stand up and to be counted in this world that is a world of sin and evil. They need you to stand up. You will receive peer pressure, but you can overcome that peer pressure. Pressure makes diamonds. Be one. Don't allow that to steal your faith away. You embolden yourself, strengthen yourself in what is right. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Choose on occasions not to participate. Choose not to watch. Choose not to listen. Choose not to speak. Choose not to dress like. Whatever the case may be. Choose your friends wisely. And choose a role model. Choose somebody that is a good example to you that you kind of want to be like. I have those now. I have a couple of guys I've already picked out here that I want to be like. So you pick out somebody, girls, boys, one of these older folks, and doesn't that give us some responsibility? Older folks, I want to be like them. I want to be that guy. Choose a role model. And then don't fall into the pressure of not honoring people in authority. I saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, question authority. And I kind of get that. But we live in a world where everybody is questioning authority and nobody is falling in line and respecting authority. Figures that should be revered and respected now are not so much. And young people are being taught to kind of just question authority. You don't have to listen to them. Don't fall in line with that. Your teachers have a certain amount of authority that you need to respect. The administrators have a certain amount of authority that you need to respect. And when we fail to teach that to our young people, that's why we have the problems that we have in society with our police, with our government, with everything else. And while there are some situations that lack of respect could be justified based on action, that doesn't paint everybody in that group. So don't fall into that pressure to not respect authority either. All right, well, parents, are we ready to help them succeed? Are we ready to help them in this regard? To emphasize the right things, to help them. You know, it's our responsibility, parents, to encourage them in the right direction and to emphasize the right things. And so, you know, a lot of times we may put second things first. We may put homework over their faith or some activity that they have at school over fellowship and the Savior and the Lord. To emphasize the things of the world. Or are we going to be involved with them and to help them in teaching them about the questionable things that they see and hear. To be involved with them and to sow seeds in their lives that will render blessings for years to come. So are we going to do that, parents? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So thankful for my parents who, when I had a lot of other things going on and I had high-level sports stuff going on, pretty good soccer player, that they said, listen, you know, there's times when you have to miss a game. There's times when you have to make a choice, and sometimes that choice isn't an easy choice. Sometimes they left that choice to me to see if I would make the right one. Thankfully, I think I did most of the time. But what are we going to emphasize in the lives of our children? My son was a good soccer player. All my kids are pretty athletic, but Will was a all-star soccer player for the state of Alabama, went on to play college soccer. First year, he's out. Injury. Can't go on. Can't play anymore. What am I going to emphasize? What am I going to really push? Because those things are not eternal. Those things are not lasting. Young people, we're praying for you. We hope and pray this is the best of years for you. Hope and pray that it goes very, very well. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. This is our prayer for you, young people. Have a great year. But while you're having fun, as the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, don't forget your God. Don't forget the Lord in all of those things. We pray for you in this new school year. May God help you. May God help us, all of us, to be engaged with one another as we look to please the Lord. For this reason, Paul says, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. May God bless you young people in this new year. And may you serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. May God be with you. May God help us to apply these lessons in our lives as we think about our work with other people, all the people that we come in contact with in our lives. May God help us in those things. Thank you for your listening this morning, your attention. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, to be joined to the family of God, and truly it is a family. What a wonderful blessing that it is to be a part of that. If you're not a part of that, we want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. If any way we can help you, once you come, I will stand.